Most people throw away what could be tomorrow's nourishment. The banana peels, the coffee grounds, the paper towel soaked in vegetable broth, all of it dumped and forgotten. But in a world teetering on climate collapse, economic uncertainty, and toxic food chains, composting's no longer just a hippie habit. It's survival science. What if you could turn every kitchen scrap, every leaf, even your own waste, into living soil? Dark, rich, and crawling with rebirth. What if your backyard could become a closed-loop ecosystem where nothing is wasted and everything becomes food again? Across the Caribbean and around the world, people are waking up to the radical power of compost, a smelly, worm-filled, life-giving revolution happening in buckets, bins, and barrels. In this episode of Farm Fresh Homestead, we'll break down how to start your own compost system, raise a worm army, and, for the brave, safely recycle human urine and animal waste without risking your health. This is not your average gardening tip. This is soil as resistance, regeneration, and reclamation. So if you think you've heard it all, you haven't. Hit follow on your favorite platform and leave us a comment, because the next story might just change the way you see everything. Don't miss a single twisted turn. Chapter 1. The Life in Your Trash. Compost 101 for Beginners. The truth is, most of what we throw away never really goes away. It ends up in landfills, releasing methane gas and mixing with plastics, chemicals, and synthetic waste. But when you compost, you take control of the cycle. You don't just reduce waste, you create soil. Living, breathing soil that feeds your plants, holds moisture in drought, and recharges your land with nutrients. Compost is the closest thing to alchemy a homesteader can master. Turning death into life, trash into treasure. Let's start with the basics. What is compost, really? Compost is decomposed organic material. That's it. Everything that was once alive, food scraps, leaves, straw, manure, can, under the right conditions, be broken down by microbes, fungi, and worms into a rich, dark material we call humus. Not the chickpea dip, the other kind. Good compost smells earthy, not rotten. It holds together like a damp sponge and is full of microscopic life. It restores depleted soil, balances pH, and improves water retention. You can mix it into raised beds, dig it into planting holes, or sprinkle it over tired lawns and orchard trees. It's not fertilizer. It's better because it supports long-term soil health rather than giving your plants a short-lived chemical boost. Cold versus hot versus passive composting. Let's break down the three most common methods of composting. Cold composting. This is the slow and steady method. You throw your kitchen scraps and yard waste into a pile and just wait. Over 6 to 12 months, nature does the work. You'll get usable compost eventually, but you may also attract rodents or deal with uneven decomposition. Hot composting. This is composting on purpose. By layering nitrogen-rich greens and carbon-heavy browns in a balanced ratio, turning the pile often, and monitoring moisture, you create ideal conditions for microbial activity. The center of your pile heats up, often between 130 degrees Fahrenheit and 160 degrees Fahrenheit, which speeds decomposition and kills most pathogens and weed seeds. You can get finished compost in 4 to 8 weeks if managed well. Passive composting. This is a happy medium. It's for folks who want compost without too much science. You still layer browns and greens, but you don't turn it much or monitor temperature. It takes longer than hot compost, but is simpler than cold compost and less prone to smells or pests. What you can compost and what you can't. Here's the general rule. If it came from a plant or animal and wasn't heavily processed, it can probably be composted. Yes. Add these to your pile. Vegetable scraps, fruit peels and cores, coffee grounds and paper filters, tea bags, remove plastic ones, crushed eggshells, grass clippings, leaves, shredded works best, straw and hay, sawdust from untreated wood, manure from herbivores, chickens, goats, rabbits, etc. Shredded newspaper and cardboard. Avoid glossy or colored ink. No, keep these out. Meat, bones, or fat attracts pests. Dairy products, oily or greasy food waste, pet waste from carnivores, dogs, cats, diseased plant material, synthetic materials, plastic, foil, rubber, coal or charcoal ash, glossy or coated paper, large branches or wood chunks. Some advanced composters experiment with adding small amounts of meat or dairy using bokashi methods or tightly managed hot piles. But for beginners, keep it simple. Greens versus browns, the balancing act. To create healthy compost, you need to balance nitrogen, greens, and carbon, browns. Too much green, and your pile turns wet and smelly. Too much brown, and it won't break down fast. Greens, nitrogen-rich, wet. Vegetable peels, coffee grounds, grass clippings, manure, browns, carbon-rich, dry, dry leaves, straw, shredded cardboard or paper, sawdust. Ideal ratio, 2 parts browns to 1 part greens by volume. Layer them like a lasagna, alternating green and brown, and finish with a brown layer on top to discourage flies. Step by step, building your first compost bin. You don't need a fancy tumbler or high-tech system. In fact, your first bin can be made from items lying around your yard or neighborhood. Option 1, pallet bin, sturdy and cheap. Gather 4 wooden pallets. Screw or lash them together into a box with 1 open top. Line with chicken wire if rodents are an issue. Place on bare soil, not concrete. This allows worms and microbes to enter. Option 2, barrel bin, good for small spaces. Drill holes in the sides and bottom of a large plastic barrel. Add alternating layers of greens and browns. Use a pole to stir the contents weekly. Option 3, dig a hole method, urban stealth compost. Dig a hole 2 feet deep and wide. Add scraps, then cover with soil. Great for places with nosy neighbors or HOA rules. Tips, locate your bin somewhere with partial shade. Avoid placing it too close to your home. Water your pile occasionally. It should be moist like a wrung-out sponge. Turn it with a fork every 1 to 2 weeks for aeration. Composting in the Caribbean climate. In humid tropical zones, compost breaks down fast. But that speed also means you must monitor your pile for excess moisture. Watch for these Caribbean-specific issues. Too much rain. Cover your pile with a tarp to prevent sogginess. Mosquitoes. If you're using an open system, keep it turned and covered. Pests. Yard fowl and rats love food scraps. Bury fresh greens deep or use enclosed bins. Bonus tip. Add banana stalks, coconut husks, or shredded sugarcane bagasse as brown materials. They're abundant in the region and break down well over time. Common beginner mistakes. Pile smells bad, too many greens or poor aeration. Add browns and turn. Pile is dry and not breaking down. Add water and greens. Attracts flies or rodents. Bury food scraps deeper. Use more carbon. Too small of a pile. Compost needs mass to heat up. Aim for 3 by 3 feet minimum. Not enough patience. Composting is natural. Give it time. Observe. Adjust. When is compost ready? Depending on your method, Your compost will be ready in 1 to 6 months. You'll know it's ready when it smells earthy. You can't recognize original materials. It's cool to the touch. It has a rich, dark brown color. It crumbles in your hand. Don't rush it. Immature compost can still contain harmful pathogens or tie up nitrogen in your soil. Let it finish cooking. Final words for Chapter 1. Composting isn't just about reducing waste. It's about reclaiming your role in the cycle of life. Once you see your trash as potential, you stop being a consumer and start becoming a steward. In many traditional Caribbean homes, compost wasn't called compost. It was just how you dealt with peelings and sweepings, tossed under the mango tree, fed to the chickens, left to rot and rise again. Now, we bring that wisdom back, not just as nostalgia, but as survival. In a time of synthetic soils, imported fertilizer shortages, and fragile food systems, composting is your first act of resistance and renewal. In Chapter 2, we'll crawl even deeper into the world of worms. You'll learn how to start a small-scale worm bin, raise red wigglers or African night crawlers, and produce black gold vermicompost that makes even the laziest garden grow. Plus, how to avoid worm bin disasters that plague most beginners. Chapter 2, Worm Farming Made Simple, Nature's Soil Engineers. If compost is the heartbeat of a living garden, then worms are the bloodstream. Quiet, tireless, and mostly invisible, these little soil engineers process food faster than any pile ever could, creating vermicompost that's richer in nutrients, microbial life, and plant-stimulating enzymes than traditional compost alone. Worms don't just eat scraps. They transform waste into wealth. And in a small bin, on a balcony, under a kitchen sink, or in a shaded corner of the garden, you can raise your own colony and feed your soil forever. In this chapter, we'll cover how to start a home worm farm from scratch, how to harvest worm castings, aka black gold, how to troubleshoot common worm problems, and which worms thrive in Caribbean or hot climates. This isn't slimy, it's sacred. Let's dig in. Why worm composting? Worm composting, or vermicomposting, is the process of using worms to break down organic waste into high-quality compost. Unlike traditional compost piles that rely on bacteria and heat, worm bins operate at room temperature and are perfect for small spaces or year-round systems. Here's why it's worth it. Speed. Worms process scraps faster than microbial-only composting. Quality. Castings contain 5 times more nitrogen, 7 times more phosphorus, and 11 times more potassium than standard soil. Compact. You can build a worm bin that fits under your sink or on a porch. Odorless. A well-managed worm bin smells like forest soil, year-round. Works even in rainy season, indoors, or in apartments. Meet your worms. Choosing the right species. Not all worms are created equal. Garden earthworms are not suitable for worm bins. Instead, look for surface-dwelling species that love decomposing organic material. Best worms for composting. Red wigglers, Eisenia fetida, most common composting worm. Thrive in bins. Reproduce rapidly. Ideal for temperate and tropical climates. African night crawlers. Eudralis, Eugeniae, thrive in hot climates. Larger and more productive than red wigglers. Produce excellent castings. Require slightly more moisture. Indian blue worms, Peryonyx excavatus, fast eaters and reproducers. Very active. Sensitive to environmental changes. May migrate out of bins if stressed. Pro tip. Red wigglers are the easiest for beginners. If you're in a hot Caribbean zone and can keep your bin shaded and moist, African nightcrawlers are phenomenal. Building your worm bin. You can purchase a stacking plastic bin system online, or you can DIY one in 30 minutes using local materials. Option 1. Plastic tote bin, simple DIY. You'll need 2 opaque plastic storage bins with lids, 10 to 18 gallons, a drill or nail and hammer, mesh screen or breathable cloth, bricks or wood spacers. Steps: drill 8 to 10 small holes, 1/8 inch, in the bottom of one bin for drainage. Drill holes around the upper sides for ventilation. Place screen or cloth over holes to keep flies out. Nest this bin inside the second one to catch any drips. Place bricks or spacers in the bottom bin to elevate the upper one. Cover with a loose-fitting lid. You want air to flow. Option 2, wooden bin, rural or outdoor use. Build a box using untreated wood. Paint the outside with linseed oil to help weatherproof it. Add a hinge lid and slats in the bottom for airflow and drainage. Elevate it on bricks or cinder blocks to avoid ants. Preparing the bedding. Before adding worms, prepare their bedding, their starter home. It needs to be fluffy, moist, and carbon rich. Great bedding materials: shredded newspaper, no glossy ink, coconut coir, soaked, straw, dry leaves, shredded cardboard, partially finished compost. How to prepare: moisten your bedding so it feels like a wrung out sponge. Fluff it with your hands. Fill your bin 2/3 full. Let it sit for 1 day to eliminate any lingering chemical smells. Then add your worms on top and leave the lid off for 15 minutes. They'll burrow down on their own. Feeding your worms. Worms aren't picky, but they do best with a balanced diet and small portions. Think of them as micro livestock. Feed them like you'd feed something you love. Good worm food: fruit peels, banana, mango, melon. Vegetable scraps: carrot tops, squash skins, coffee grounds, crushed eggshells, grit for digestion, shredded newspaper or cardboard, cooked rice or oatmeal, small amounts only. Avoid citrus peels, acidic. Onion and garlic, strong odors. Meat, dairy, oils, spicy peppers, large quantities of cooked food. Bread molds fast and attracts pests. Feeding. Routine: bury food in different corners of the bin to avoid buildup. Feed once a week to start, then adjust based on how fast they eat. Do not overfeed. Leftover food equals stink and flies. Worm castings, harvesting black gold. After 2 to 3 months, your worms will begin producing castings, the fine, black, crumbly material that smells like deep forest soil. How to harvest. Method: 1. Side migration. Push all compost to one side of the bin. Add fresh bedding and food to the empty side. Over a week, worms will migrate over. Scoop out finished compost from the first side. Method 2, light separation. Dump the bin onto a tarp in sunlight. Form small piles. Worms will burrow down. Scoop off the top layers every 5 to 10 minutes. Return worms to new bedding. How to use worm castings: sprinkle in planting holes. Mix into seed-starting soil. Brew into compost tea. 1 cup castings in a mesh bag, soaked in 5 gallons water, plus 1 tablespoon molasses for 24 hours. Top dress your garden beds or potted plants. Troubleshooting your worm bin. Even experienced worm farmers make mistakes. Here's how to fix the most common ones. Problem 1, bin smells bad. Cause: overfeeding, poor aeration. Fix: stop feeding for a week, fluff bedding, add more dry carbon. Problem 2, Worms crawling up the sides or escaping. Cause, stress, heat, too wet, acidic food. Fix, remove citrus, aerate bedding, add dry shredded paper. Problem 3, fruit flies or gnats. Cause, exposed food. Fix, always bury food 2 to 3 inches deep. Use more browns. Problem 4, mold on food. Cause, normal in small amounts. Fix, avoid overfeeding. Chop food smaller. Problem 5, worms are not reproducing. Cause, cold, low moisture, poor food. Fix, ensure temperature stays 65 to 85 degrees Fahrenheit. Feed balanced scraps. Caribbean climate considerations. Worm farming in tropical or humid regions like the Caribbean comes with a few specific considerations. Temperature. Ideal range is 70 to 85 degrees Fahrenheit. Above 90 degrees Fahrenheit, worms can die. Always keep your bin shaded. Rain. Outdoor bins must be covered. Rain will drown worms quickly. Ants. Elevate your bin legs in containers of water or oil to create a moat. Humidity. Coconut coir is ideal bedding in humid zones. It resists mold and retains moisture without going soggy. Pro tip, in Jamaica, Dominica, and Trinidad, small-scale worm farms are being used to turn sugarcane pulp, coffee husks, and banana peels into premium castings for export. The Caribbean has everything needed to be a vermicomposting powerhouse, but it starts in the home. Bonus, breeding worms to sell or share. Once your bin is established, your worms will multiply. If managed well, your population can double every 90 days. You can sell worms to other gardeners or schools. Share starter kits with neighbors. Start a second bin. Use them to feed chickens or ducks. Excellent protein source. Your compost isn't just for your own garden. It can become part of a local food movement, a school garden program, or a cottage business. Closing thoughts on worm composting. Worms remind us that big change often happens quietly, underneath the surface, out of sight. What they do in darkness feeds the light. A single worm bin, lovingly managed, can replace a dozen plastic fertilizer bags. It can rescue thousands of pounds of waste from landfills. It can turn a third-story apartment dweller into a soil maker, a steward, a source of life. You don't need a field. You don't need permission. You just need a bin, some scraps, and a willingness to let the cycle begin again. In Chapter 3, we'll go further into the regenerative frontier and into territory most homesteaders tiptoe around. You'll learn how to safely compost human manure and animal waste, how to design a compost toilet system, and what traditions Caribbean communities once used to return human waste to the land without poisoning the water. It's not for the squeamish, but for those serious about self-reliance and soil sovereignty, it's the final frontier of zero-waste living. Chapter 3, From Waste to Worth, The Humanure Frontier. In most modern societies, human waste is treated as a dirty problem to be flushed and forgotten. But what if we told you that waste, even the kind no one wants to talk about, isn't waste at all? What if it's a resource waiting to be transformed, just like kitchen scraps and garden clippings? What if our very bodies, through digestion and decay, offer the most complete form of nutrient cycling available to a homestead? This chapter may challenge your comfort zone, but it's also where the path of radical self-reliance leads. We're going deep into humanure, the composting of human waste, and how, with care, it can become not a risk but a regenerative asset. We'll also cover animal waste management, especially for goats, chickens, and pigs, and how to keep pathogens out of your compost system. You'll learn how to build a safe, smell-free compost toilet, how long human urine must be processed before use, and how Caribbean ancestors used bush latrines and natural systems long before the flush toilet arrived. This is the final step, the full cycle, from what comes out back to what goes in. What is human urine? And why bother? Human urine is shorthand for human manure, human feces and urine that are captured, composted, and sanitized before being returned to the soil. Most people react to this with a shudder. But let's be honest, every day, every body generates it. The average human produces about 100 to 150 gallons of urine and 80 to 100 pounds of feces per year. Multiply that by every person in your household, and you'll see this isn't a small issue. When flushed, that waste pollutes rivers, consumes vast amounts of clean water, and relies on infrastructure most rural homesteaders don't control. But when composted properly, it becomes a valuable source of nitrogen, phosphorus, potassium, and micronutrients, with no synthetic inputs. So why isn't everyone doing it? Simple, pathogens, and taboo. But with the right steps, the health risks can be fully mitigated. And the taboo? That's up to you. The science of safe human urine composting. Let's address the big question first. Is it safe? Yes, if handled properly. Feces contain harmful bacteria like E. coli, Salmonella, and parasites like hookworm or Giardia. But heat and time neutralize these threats. Here's what's required for safety. High temperature composting, 131 degrees Fahrenheit or higher for several days. Long curing period, at least 1 year, ideally two. Separation of urine and feces optional but helpful. Never apply human urine to root crops or salad greens. Best use, fruit trees, ornamental plants, or pasture. The key is understanding that composting isn't just decay, it's transformation. By layering properly, maintaining heat, and aging the compost, you eliminate the risk while closing the nutrient loop. Building a simple compost toilet system. You don't need plumbing. You don't need septic tanks. What you do need is a dry toilet, carbon cover material, and a composting bay to process the full buckets. Tools needed, 5-gallon buckets, multiple. A sturdy toilet seat or box. Sawdust, coconut husk fiber, dry leaves, or shredded paper. 2 outdoor composting bins, rotating use. Tarp or breathable lid. Step by step. Build or repurpose a toilet box. Cut a hole in the top of a wooden box or crate and fit a toilet seat. Place a 5-gallon bucket beneath. Add 1 inch of dry carbon, sawdust, or coir to the bucket before use. After each use, cover with more dry carbon to eliminate odor and flies. When full, seal the bucket and move it to your composting area. Clean the toilet bucket thoroughly. Dump the bucket into a dedicated human urine pile layered with straw or dry leaves. Cover completely. Rotate between 2 compost bays, filling one while the other cures for a minimum of 12 months. Never add toilet paper with synthetic fibers or wipes. Use only biodegradable paper. Maintaining a human urine compost pile. This is a hot composting system that requires careful management. Here's how to keep it safe and functional. Location: far from edible crops, water sources, and neighbor property lines, preferably on elevated ground to avoid runoff. Structure: a 3x3x3 foot pile or bin with good airflow and rain cover. Carbon cover material, sawdust, straw, shredded sugarcane, coconut coir, or chopped banana leaves. Layering. Every time you add a bucket of waste, cover with at least 4 to 6 inches of carbon material. Turning. Turn once every 4 to 6 weeks with a garden fork. Monitoring temperature should rise to 130 to 160 degrees Fahrenheit in the center. Use a compost thermometer if available. Curing time. Leave to cure for 12 to 24 months before using. Longer equals safer. Final use. Apply to fruit trees, cassava, coconuts, or non-food shrubs. Never on lettuce or carrots. Caribbean traditions of latrine composting. Long before flush toilets, rural Caribbean communities managed human waste through bush latrines, dry pits, and banana circles. In the hills of St. Vincent, outhouses were placed near coconut palms where soil microbes and tree roots absorbed the runoff. In rural Jamaica, pit toilets were dug and abandoned every few years, then converted into planting beds. In Dominica, families composted human waste near cane fields, using dry leaves and ash to neutralize odor. In Haiti's permaculture circles, EcoSan toilets are gaining popularity, splitting urine and feces, drying them separately, and reusing safely after curing. The lesson, this is not new. This is ancestral wisdom, modernized. What about urine? Urine is sterile and high in nitrogen, phosphorus, and potassium. It contains no pathogens in healthy individuals. How to use it? Dilute 1 to 10 with water and apply directly to compost piles or fruit trees. Use as an activator to heat up a sluggish compost pile. Ferment in a sealed bottle for 1 to 2 weeks to kill any lingering pathogens before use. Avoid using on leafy vegetables. Best for trees and long-season crops. Pro tip. Urine can also be mixed with biochar to create a potent, slow-release fertilizer called Urine Charge Terra Preta. Managing animal waste on the homestead. Chickens, goats, rabbits, and pigs all produce waste, and when managed properly, that manure becomes some of your best fertilizer. Here's a species-by-species breakdown. Chickens. Manure is hot, high in nitrogen and ammonia. Must be composted before use, or it will burn plants. Mix with dry bedding and carbon to balance. Chicken, deep litter bedding, makes an excellent base for compost piles. Goats and sheep. Droppings are small and dry. Easy to collect and compost. Low odor. Combine with straw and kitchen scraps for rich compost. Pigs. Manure contains parasites. Must be composted at high temperatures for safety. Avoid using pig manure on food crops unless thoroughly processed. Rabbits. Droppings can be applied directly to soil. No composting needed. Clean, pellet-like, and easy to handle. Excellent for container gardening. Important. Never add animal manure to worm bins unless it has aged or been partially composted. Turning waste into power. Let's be clear. Human urine is not for everyone. Some listeners will skip this part. Some won't try it. That's fine. But for those committed to true self-reliance, for those living off-grid or in water-scarce regions, this practice is a game-changer. A compost toilet saves thousands of liters of water per year. It reduces sewage loads. It generates zero pollution. It costs nothing. And it reconnects us to the full cycle of life. Birth, growth, decay, renewal. It turns shame into sustainability, waste into worth. Final thoughts. In the Caribbean and across the world, climate change, droughts, and resource scarcity are already exposing the flaws in our throwaway systems. But in your backyard, or even on your balcony, you can take control. Chapter by chapter, this episode has shown you how to compost every scrap of food you once tossed, to raise worms that process waste faster and better than any machine, and to transform even your most taboo waste into a regenerative tool. This is the power of compost. This is the power of homesteading. Nothing wasted everything returned. Because soil isn't just where things grow. It's where life begins again.